This is the first one of going through the next 6-7 weeks for us. As individuals reading the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, there's several different versions of covers of the book, but it's all generally purpose-driven. So tomorrow, let me encourage you to start reading chapter one. I know some people's been cheeky and you're already reading ahead, but I don't think it's going to do you any harm. But if you start reading and then... Guys, I am amazed. I am so blessed that most people signed up for an house group, signed up for the fact that you're getting on board. Because in most churches, you only usually get maybe 60%. We're well above that. In fact, it's most people. Everybody I've spoke to said, yeah, I've got my book. Or can you get me a book? Or can I borrow a book? It's like people just... And I'm amazed. Because I'm so excited. And I'm kind of annoyed. Because... I'm off away on holiday, and I think God's going to be doing stuff, and I'm not even going to be here. Because after 40 days of doing purpose-driven, you're all going to be kind of excited, geared up and ready to take on the world, and I'm going somewhere else. And I'm kind of like going, God, you know what I mean? I know it's not about me, it's about you. But I want to be part of what you're doing. So I'm really thankful and excited and appreciate the fact that you're going to take that time out. And let me encourage you, I'm not suggesting everybody does a 40-day fast unless you really seriously want to. But, you know, some people have coming up to Lent and stuff like that. But you might say, well, I'm reading a book. I'm going to cut out chocolate. Or I'm going to cut out the internet. Or I'm going to cut out TV. Or I'm going to cut out meat. Or I'm going to cut out the whole food thing. Whatever it is to you. Not in a legal, just to help focus you. But that's your choice. So I just want to say thank you to everybody for the fact that you're on board and take it. And it encourages me. There's nothing worse than saying, let's go do something, and most people go, yes, but don't. I'm excited because most of you have gone, yes, and we are. So thank you. I really appreciate that. It makes me feel warm inside. And it's not just from the heat in this place. I do, you know what I mean? But thank you. But I just want to thank you guys and just encourage you over the next 40 days to seek God, to seek as you go through the book, his purpose for you, the reason why you're here. One of the greatest questions that most people ask at different points in their life, and maybe a slightly different way of putting it, but why am I alive? A question that most people are asking. And as you get on in life, you may come to a bit of a conclusion about that. Some do, some don't. But it's often for growing up, you get through school and you become very aware of your surroundings. And many young people are asking the question, well, why am I here? I had an atheist say, a really staunch atheist, a very popular person. And he said this, that life has no meaning without a God. And the question then was asked to him, so does your life have meaning? And he says, my life is meaningless. And yet he's on TV advocating atheism as a way of a belief system. The question, why am I alive? Why am I here? People ask that question all the time. In fact, there's a guy in the Bible, Jeremiah, and if you read through a book of Jeremiah, if anybody thinks Christians or believers don't get depressed, that guy was depressed. I mean, that guy was depressed. But he says this in Jeremiah 20:18. He says, why did I ever come out of the womb to see trouble and sorrow, to end my days in shame? And that guy's not optimistic. He's not H-A-P-P-Y, is he? It's kind of like, and if he go through the whole book, at some point, why don't you just kill me and take me home? You know, another translation puts it this way. Why was I born? Was it only to have trouble and sorrow and to end my life in disgrace? Sometimes we can feel that's it. But God's got so much more for us. And as we try to figure out that question, I've realized there's only one person that can give us the answer to that question of why we're here. And that's going back to the manual. See, sometimes you may have things at home that you use were not for their original purpose. You know, I grew up and a knife was called a flat-ended screwdriver. A knife. We used to open things with a knife. So, you know, you didn't need a plug. You just needed two wires and a pencil to shove in the top to put them in. You know, you didn't bother about these things, but there weren't purpose for that. You know, sometimes I've seen people using their shoe as an hammer because they haven't got an hammer. I've heard somebody say they actually used their bass to, as an hammer to knock somebody in. I'm thinking, if anybody touched my bass like that, you just don't do that. But I once heard somebody say this: I hope life isn't a joke because I don't get it. But, you know, but I want to get it. See, life is not a joke, it's serious. And yet we've got all our lives before us, however long that might be, and yet sometimes we don't think it's got purpose. And in one sense, it's only a dress rehearsal for the great life we're going to have ahead of us. But we still need to make some of this life. Your purpose in life, the reason why you were made, is bigger than you. You can look within yourselves and try to improve yourselves, but all all that you want and reach the ultimate success in life, but only to find there is no meaning, because there's only meaning in Jesus. He's the only one that gives you meaning. Several people that I've got quotes here from. H.G. Wells, at 61, he said this: I have no peace. All my life is at the end of a tether. The poet, Brian, this is good stuff. Poets, an author, now a poet. You're getting educated. Us normanders. Brian said this: my days are like a yellow leaf. The flowers and the fruit are gone. Raphael Barton, he was a cartoonist, very famous guy in the US, and he left a note on his pillow just before he actually killed himself at the age of 39. He says this: I have very few difficulties. In other words, he had in his life. I have many friends, great success. I have gone from wife to wife, from house to house, visited great countries of the world, and I am fed up of trying to invent devices to fill up the 24 hours I have in a day. And then he killed himself. Freddie Mercury said this, the singer. He says, you can have everything in the world and still be the loneliest man. And that is the most bitter type of loneliness. Success has brought me world idolization, millions of pounds, but it's prevented me from having the one thing that I've always needed, a loving, ongoing relationship. These are different people, different backgrounds, but they all cry out, what is life really about? Why am I here? They had everything. If you read the Bible, if you read Ecclesiastes, a book in the Bible most people never even enter into, the smartest, wisest man in the world says everything is meaningless. Meaningless, it's all meaningless. Or in the King James, vanity, vanity. Meaningless. And at the end of that, he says, there's only one thing a man needs to do, is make sure he's right with his maker, because everything will be brought into light. At the end, Solomon set off really great, but he lost his way. Along with his life, he lost his way with God, but eventually he turned back to God, which was a good thing. Now, you were made for greater purposes than just finding the ultimate success or comfort or happiness, because you were made for God's purpose. You see, I wasn't made for my purpose. I was really made for his purpose. And one of the things about becoming a Christian is you hand over your rights to your own life and you put yourself in God's purpose for you. You give yourself over to him because he's got a plan and a purpose for your life. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says this: for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Every one of us in this room and everybody that listens to this later on, you are created with God with a purpose in mind. You are not a mistake. Sometimes we have accidental parents, but we don't have accidental births. Every person alive is alive for a reason, and God's got a reason for them. I was listening to the story and I forgot the guy's name. He's no arms, he's no legs, and he's going around the world telling people about God. Well, what's his purpose? He's seen many people get saved and he's saying, God's got a purpose for my life, because he realized as what he was with no arms or legs. I mean, he's married now. No arms and legs, yet he understood. And God says to him, I formed you in your mother's womb. I made you who you are. And when he accepted that, then he found his purpose. The problem is that we don't often accept who we are in Christ or who we are as a person, because we're always trying to look forward to something else, find something else, become something else, instead of thanking God that I am who I am, and I'm getting better each day. But God, you created me. You gave me this accent. You bore me into that family. You put me in that country, and I will be everything I can be. But life's hard. Yes, it is. But God still has a purpose for us. And as soon as we track onto the purpose, instead of running after anything and everything, we find out we have peace. And that's God's ultimate purpose for us, that we can live a life of peace in a storm, still having peace, through the fire and coming out the other side in his purposes. That's the right reason you are here and I am here, is to answer the question why is summed up in this phrase that we were made for God. I think that's really great. That I was made for him. I was made for a bigger thing than me. And one day I'll stand before him forever as part of the crowd of witnesses. I saw a great crowd there before God. But I'm created for him. I wasn't created just to have kids. I wasn't created just to do my own thing. I was created with a purpose to be like Christ for his purpose. And I think that's exciting. Because it takes the pressure off me trying to sort out my life. For me, when I can look at him and say, you've got a purpose. What's it going to be? And trusting in him. You see, if you don't understand your purpose, if you think there's no purpose in life, it's like that story from Alice in Wonderland. And there's a conversation that she has with the Cheshire Cat. And Alice asks this question. Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here? That depends a good deal on where you want to get to, said the cat. I don't much care where, says Alice. Then it doesn't matter which way you go, says the cat. If you don't know where you're going, directions are irrelevant. If you don't know where you want to be, it's pointless taking any steps forward. And that's why when people don't know where they need to be, go into a cycle. And it can lead to all sorts of situations, but it can lead to people feeling in a dark place, a pointless life, what on earth? And the questions are going around there. And that's why sometimes people, ultimately, some people, sadly, feel the only way out is to take their own life. Because they have no purpose and no meaning. And we're living in a world where they are encouraging us to get rid of the mistakes that we get pregnant with. Get rid of them. Shut them away. Get rid of them. They're also trying to advocate, and it's sneaking in, this idea that when somebody becomes a burden to society, let us help them as a society to peacefully go away. Euthanasia. It's creeping in. But everybody born, and in fact, kids who aren't even born, God still has a purpose for them. It's not their choice that they get aborted. It's not their choice that something happens. But God has a plan and a purpose. And it's only us that seem to get off track. It doesn't matter which way you go. It doesn't matter, you know, what you do with your life. But God has a plan for you. This is a noodle banger, the confusion. This is one that will get your head spinning. That when God talks about your purpose, and he tells you this is your purpose, and then you step out into it, and you make a complete mess up of it, or something amazingly stupid happens that wasn't even your fault, God knew that was going to happen. He knew it was going to happen, so your purpose still stands. Your purpose still stands. So you can try to trash up your life, and God said, I've still got a purpose for you. Somebody turn back to me, I've got a purpose. And we can fight it, and we can have trouble with it, but God said, I've still got a purpose. The Bible says this in Proverbs 16:4. The Lord has made everything for his own purposes. Guys, without getting into too much theology, one of the reasons you were made and born is so God can demonstrate his love and his wisdom to you to rub the devil's nose in it. Whenever the devil challenges God, God says, look at my body, look at my church, look at my people. He points him back to us. Why do you think he's having a go at us? Because Jesus always goes, look at my body, look at my people. They're demonstrating grace and mercy. The reason, and it's an interesting thing to write down if you've got a pen, the reason So many people live frustrated, confused, and restless lives is because everything was made for God's purpose, not theirs. I'll read that again. The reason so many people live frustrated, confused, and restless lives is because everything was made for God's purposes, not theirs. When you're outside God's purpose, it becomes a lot of confusion, restlessness, and frustrations. The Bible says this in Ephesians 4, verse 1, Message version. Long before he laid down the earth's foundations, he had us in mind, and he settled on us as the focus of his love, and he made the whole and holy by his love. Putting it in today's terms, before God created this ball that we live in, before he made anything, you were on his mind. Sounds like an Elvis song. But you were on his mind. Before anything had been made, he thought of you. Now, if that doesn't get you excited when you're having a miserable day, what will? Because we often think we're lonely or nobody remembers me. I've only got 24 likes on Facebook or whatever. Nobody's bothered. God's thinking about you. God's thinking about you. Without getting too focused on ourselves, he's also thinking on the person next to you. He also thinks about the people that still are not in the kingdom of God. But he thought of you. Long before he laid the foundations of the earth, he had you in mind. One of the second reasons, or second questions that people have is, do I matter? Do I matter? So why am I here? And because I'm here, but do I matter? Is it important that I'm here? I've heard people say, if I died, nobody would care. You know, if I weren't here, nobody would be bothered. I've done funerals where there's been only a few people. It's been sad. Not sad the fact that the person had died, the fact that for nobody there. That person's impact on people's lives. That's what I liked about Jim. At 99, he still could have an impact on people's lives. And he wasn't bothered. And he was there. The Bible says this in Isaiah 49, verse 4. My work all seems so useless. I have spent my strength for nothing and for no purpose at all. That's Isaiah having a bad day. Everything I've done has been pointless. And sometimes, guys, we get to that point in life where we look and think, is it worth it? Parents sometimes look at the kids and think, you know, where did I go wrong? But then give it a few more years and you start seeing something different. You see things change. And at the end of the day, we're all doing our best. We're all trying to do our best. But our life, if we feel that we've, you know, life is useless and everything we do is without meaning or purpose, it can lead into a dark place. There's a story of a Second World War concentration camp. The Germans had it, and they got a load of prisoners into a factory. And the Allies come across and bombed the factory. These were just prisoners of war. They weren't the Jews, weren't trying to kill them. They just were old enough. And they bombed the factory, so the workers had nothing to do. So there were thousands of workers with no work to do. So the guards made them pick the rubble of the factory and move it into the field across the road. So they literally picked up the entire factory and moved it across and dumped it in the field. The next day, the soldiers got them to pick the rubble back up and move it back onto the bombed outside. And on the third day, they made them pick it up and take it back across the road. And they went on and on with meaningless, pointless work. But within weeks, it said that the prisoners started running out in front of vehicles to kill themselves. They were losing their minds. They were just going insane. People were committing suicide. All because they were acting out a meaningless task of taking rubbish from one place to another place. And so the experiment went, there's been prisons around the world that's taken people and give them a shovel and said, dig a trench. When they've dug a trench, the next day they tell them to dig another trench by filling in the first trench. And all they do is work across the field. But another one that took 100 tons of stone and dropped it in a field and told the prisoners to shovel it across the field. And when they got to the other side, they told them to shovel it back. And in every case, people started killing themselves. They started going insane and going mad. Because when we've no purpose, we've nothing to focus on, and our mind just goes into a spin. And what is the point? I believe that we all matter. It says this, that God, that when it says I, meaning God, I'm your creator. You were in my care before you were born. Isaiah 44, verse 2. You were in my care even before you were born. The New American Standard puts it this way. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from your womb, who will help you. Even in the dark times, God's still there for us. And your life, you might feel your life means nothing to anybody. But I would say this, that if anybody listened to me or in this room, if something happened to you, they would be people at your graveside. Because you do mean something to people. You might not get the birthday cards. You might not get you might not even get a Valentine's card this year. But I'll tell you something, you still mean something. If nobody on this earth cares about you, Jesus does. And he wants to watch over you. It says that, the Bible says in Psalm 139, that God scheduled our days of our lives before they even began. Every day was recorded in your book. The New International Version says, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before even one of them came to pass. Before we were born, God saw us. Before the world was made, he knew us. You matter, and I matter to Jesus. No matter what anybody else thinks. So you have a purpose. Your ears for God's purpose, but you actually do matter. God loves us so much and has chosen to spare you from the life of meaningless and insignificance. He loves you so much, he puts a purpose on you. I don't know how some people live who don't have a belief in God, any God, a God, meaningless. We came from nothing, we go to nothing. It's not a reason to. That's why some people think it's okay to murder. That's why some people think, well, we're all animals, let's act like animals. That's why some people think, what's the point? And they can rubbish entire generations out. They can actually kill, genocide groups of people because they don't fit in. But there's a third question that people often ask. So, why am I here? Do I matter? And the third question is, so what is my purpose? And over these 40 days that we look at this book, my prayer is that you find your purpose. Not just I tell you, you have a purpose, but you find a purpose. See, sometimes I assume everybody's purpose is to be on the platform, but there could be somebody's purpose here on a Sunday that you go get that visitor's book and every visitor walks in, you get them to sign the book. I said to somebody recently, your purpose could be that when people, because they always sit up back row, which is empty today, so that's a funny one. But I said to them, it's interesting, you sit up back row, so why don't when people come in, met them, come and sit with me on the back row. That could be your purpose. Your purpose could be to smile at somebody, encourage them, pray for somebody. It could be anything. But through the 40 days, it's my prayer that you find your purpose as God knits us together as a body of believers. The opening lines on day one of this book, it says this, I'll read it. It says, it's not about you. I think that's funny. Yeah. So life is not about me. God, are you telling me this planet doesn't revolve around me and the universe? No, it does not. You're not all figments of my imagination in my head. This is not a dream. This is reality. This is not some experiment gone wrong or gone right. We have a purpose. It's not about you. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, and even your wildest dreams and ambitions. That's pretty good. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born by this. You were born by this purpose and for His purpose. You were born for His purpose. So it's not about you, but it's about His purposes. Some people believe if you talk to a naturist, a naturalist, they'd say the idea is that we just reproduce and get stronger as a group of people and we become great and stronger. But if you look at the timelines that they put, they go from a little monkey to a bigger monkey to a bigger monkey to a ugly man to a man to a man like me. And then it goes on to the handbag man. So I don't know where that's going to go eventually. But I don't believe we evolved. We were born with and created for a purpose. We'll stop that one. That's a naturist. Some people say life's just about having fun. Just have fun. Trash your life up. It doesn't matter. It's only life. It doesn't count. You know, if you want to get drunk, get drunk. If you want to be high, get high. As long as you don't hurt anybody and you're not nicking from anybody and it all goes into a real bad place. Anyway, some people just believe it's about getting stuff. Get stuff. Get as much as you can. But I'm reminded of a sticker that was out in the US. I never saw it, but I remind one. It says, "He who dies with the most toys still dies." So what is my purpose in life? You can get as much as you can around you. You can have the best everything, but you're still going to die. You just died with most toys. And the only people who are happy of the person who dies with most toys is those who's inheriting the toys. That's it. Oh, yes, they're sad. Till they get the toys. I love it. But we were created for more than just reproducing, having fun, and just, you know, getting as much stuff. Something else if you want to write down. It says, if you leave God out of the equation, then there is no point to life because everything is just a random act of nature. Without God, it's just a random act of nature. And I were no random act. And if you go into the statistics of even somebody getting born or a lady getting pregnant, it seems quite easy to do. But if you look at the statistics of that actually happening and the whole drama that that goes through, it's quite unbelievable that anybody ever gets pregnant. But we were all made by God and for God. And until you can understand and until I understand that fact, our lives will seem pointless. Pointless. What is the point without God? The Bible says this, and it teaches this. It says, knowing God results in every other kind of understanding. That's summarizing a load of Bible verses. Knowing God opens up everything in all wisdom and understanding. And I like these verses in Ephesians 1 and verse 3 to 10. It says, praise be to the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. His love, in love, he predestined us and adopted us as sons into sonship with Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us, to the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. And he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will, mystery of his will according to his good and pleasing, which he purposed in Christ to be put in effect when the time had reached fullness, to bring unity to all things under heaven and under earth in Christ Jesus. Interesting verses, and there's so much in that. But the thing I want to point out to you is that some people read it this way. Praise be to the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with a spiritual realm, with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, for he chose us. By the way, it never says me, singular. It's always us. But some people read this as being about us. It's all about us. But actually, when you read it, praise be to the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every heavenly in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption of sonships through Jesus Christ in accordance with his purpose, pleasure and will, to be praised of his glorious grace, which he gave freely to us, in that in the one he loves, in him we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins in accordance with his riches and God's grace that he lavished on us, which with all wisdom and understanding that he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good and pleasing, which he purposed in Christ. Do you get that? It's all about him. But he talks about us. He focuses on us and he wants us to focus on him, because it's only in him do we find why us are here. It's only in him do we find out that us matter. And it's only in him that we find out for us that we have a purpose. And through these 40 days that's coming up, I'm going to encourage you just to keep on going. Keep on, because God, you matter to God. You have a purpose and you are so loved. Everybody born has a purpose, regardless if they get saved or don't get saved, but everybody has a purpose. One of the purposes that we worship. Even non-Christians, it's built into them that they worship something. And we'll look at worship next week. And then part of our purpose that's built into us as people is to be part of a community, part of a family, part of a group. Now, everybody wants to be an individual, but they don't really. There's nobody going, you know what, I've got too many friends. But there's loads of people going, I feel lonely. People are not saying, I've got too many people around me. Most people are saying, I'm lonely. Because we have a purpose. Part of us is to be part of a family, part of a group of people. Another thing is that we grow. You have a purpose from born to grow. And not just physically, but emotionally, mentally. Everything else on the inside to grow. And we'll look at a week where we look at growing. There's also another purpose that every human being was designed to. And this is when the struggle comes, because we were designed and purposed to help. You were designed to help people. If you don't believe me, watch your response the next time you see a little baby that needs help. There's something inside you rises up, especially if you're a woman. The mothering instinct kicks in. And even men, the protection. Nobody would let a kid walk onto a road, a toddler. And it's not a case of, well, I just don't want to. There's something inside you, a purpose that's in there. So we're designed to help one another. And the last purpose that we look at, which everybody has, is a purpose to tell our story. Everybody, whether saved or unsaved, has a story that they want to tell. They want to pass on their information. And we've got the greatest story going, sorry, of Jesus. Ephesians 1 verse 11 says this, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything to conformity of the purpose of his will. The Message version puts it this way, it is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Part of the overall purpose is working out in every one of us and in everything. God's working out his purpose in every one of us. You matter. God cares for you. So you're now at a crossroads. That's the end of the sermon. You're now at a crossroads. And like I said, I appreciate the fact that most people, if not all, have jumped on board. But you've got a choice to make, because over the next 40 days, there's an element of commitment needed. A commitment to read your Bible and read the book. Some people struggle just reading one of them. But reading your Bible and reading the book. I'm asking you now to commit to three things. Make Sundays a priority, that you don't miss any of the weeks. Now, when the Americans are here, they're going to do the Sunday morning meeting. So I'm going to even say this. Make Sunday night your priority that week. Even though it'd be good Sunday morning with Americans, I'm asking that you make Sundays a priority as the weeks go on. It will require some time and some sacrifice from every one of us. You see, I'm not doing this because I've got no else to do. This adds more work to me as well. So it's not just asking you, I've got to do it as well. Second thing I'm asking is that if you've not already signed up to a small group, please do, because you'll get more out of a book sat asking the questions, talking through the questions. I know Phil's is full, ours is full. I should have got everybody to stand up. There's Ian and Jean at the front, there's space at their house group. I think yours, there's Dave and Maria over here. I'm not sure if they're this full or not yet, but there's those two there on the side of Sower Bridge. Right, yours is full, ours is full. Andy and Carol's, that's all. Andy's at back, and Carol's here. There's still a bit of space in theirs. If you don't like dogs, we've got a really big dog, so you don't have to come to our house. Andy and Carol's got a really cute dog, and dogs. But there's some good. So do, and cats and snake. The snake's in the cellar and never comes out at all, ever. Yeah, these guys have got a little cute dog. But it's not a bear house, I'm saying. It's at Marjorie's. All I'm saying is, if you're already not signed up to an house group, talk to these guys. Don't just walk out because it starts tomorrow and then on Wednesday or Thursday, be part of the group. Because it's good to thrash this out and then in a few weeks come and share your testimony, and then in 6 weeks, 7 weeks, come and share your testimony again. So I've asking to make Sundays a commitment. I'm asking you to sign up to an house group and be part of that. And also to read the assigned chapter in the book. If you haven't got a book, we've got some spare here. And remember, this is a life-opening act. Guys, I don't know how many days are in your life. So I could have brought the figures. And I could have said, if you live till 80, you've got so many days. What is 40 days? What's 40 days in your life? If after this 40 days it sets you on a track of purpose and destiny in God, what is 40 days? What is 5 minutes of reading a book and then 5 minutes reading your Bible on the journey that you might be on? There's some stuff in the book which will challenge every one of us. Some of it will smile. Some of you may have tears reading through a book. It's a great book. But just work your way through it. In the small groups, having to commit to Sundays in a small group might even be almost, I've got down here, it could be painful to commit time. But I've put this, but I dare you to. I dare you to. And after 40 days, you could come up to me and say, Johnny, I've read the book, I've been here every Sunday, I've been to the house groups, and it's a total roll of the rubbish. And if you do that, I'll stand up and let everybody know. I'll tell them somebody's been. But I reckon this is what's going to happen, that those who commit to the end will see changes in their life. I've done the book a couple of times. You will see some change. If you honestly go through it all and it doesn't change anything, let me know. The Bible says this, it makes no difference who you are or wherever you're from. If you want God, you really and are ready to do whatever he says, the door is open. That's the Message version, Acts 10. God is opening a way for all of us, and I'm excited because we're doing it together. But I'm also excited because you guys are all on board. So I'm going to pray for you, and I encourage small groups to pray for one another, stand together, work things through. And I'm encouraging us all just to stand together through this time. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity as a body of believers. Lord, I pray on behalf of everyone in this room and those that are not here. Lord, I stand before you on behalf of them and ask you, Lord, that you will just really speak to every one of us. Lord, that you will open our eyes, that you'll open our hearts, Lord, to receive more and more for you. Lord, I pray for friendships to be built, encouragement to flow. Lord God, I pray that lives will be changed in such a dramatic way. Lord, it'll be so obvious. And I pray, Lord, that through this, your body of believers in Sower Bridge, in this small little area, Lord, we will rise up, Lord, to listen closely to you. Lord, we'll stand up, Lord, to do our purpose, Lord, but your purpose through us. Lord, that will worship you, Lord, that will care for one another. Lord, that will grow as believers, will reach out, Lord, and will serve one another. Lord God, I thank you for everyone. And I just pray now, Lord, that you'll all give us the patience and, Lord, the stamina to keep on going. Lord, those people who are not so well, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will just touch them so they can have time to spend time with you. I pray also, Lord, that you will keep us alert for the distractions that may come in to pull us aside, to pull us away. Lord, that we don't come under condemnation, that we can just keep in fellowship with you. In the name of our lovely Jesus, amen. Amen. Amen.